Today I'm with Dr. Marlene Joyce, the vitality doctor and the vibrant health guru to many, and the author of two best-selling books. The first is 5 Minutes to Health, and the second, I Can't Believe It's Tofu. She effectively teaches how to conquer your personal energy crisis and with quick and easy instant energy techniques, which is the title of her soon-to-be-released book. And this book reveals strategies that anyone can do anywhere and anytime to gain more energy. So with great honor, I would like to welcome you, Dr. Marlene Joyce.
Hello, Tahami. It's just a joy to be on the call with you.
Thank you, Marlene. Now I will start the recording and start learning from your wisdom. First of all, let's start by taking you years back and ask you, how did you start your success quest and where are you now?
That's a really great question, Tahami, because for me, when you first put that question out to me, I thought, where did it really begin? You know, most of us think that it's in the latter years of our lives or whatever. And I realized that my success quest really began while I was living on the streets of Toronto. It was really cold out there in the winter, and I was a runaway kid. I had left a really abusive home life and had no clue where I was going. My father had given me the ultimatum, not understanding really what was going on when he wasn't around. And it was, you do as I say or get out. And I chose to get out. And so living on the streets of Toronto during the middle of the winter, I really had, you know, I remember being in various abandoned, dilapidated warehouses and scrounging for food out of garbage cans and begging for money. And at that time, I just had a dream. I knew in my heart that each of us had a purpose on the planet and that my purpose was not to be a homeless kid or a homeless adult. It was to find a better life, to create a beautiful home, to not be begging for food or money. And so at that time, it was that moment at which I created the vision of what my life would look like. And from there, I remember the day when I begged for 10 cents for a phone call. That's all it cost back in those days. And, yeah, it's become a long way. Mm-hmm. And, this gentleman handed me a dime, and I had seen an ad for a job in the newspaper, and, phoned up, got the job, was working in nightclubs, but tips were good, and, I was underage, but no one asked. And I started to really save money and had it's so interesting when I look back, I had a desire then for money. To me, money was what wealth was about and success was about. It was just that and nothing much more than that. And so I was on a mission to create wealth. And by the time I was 25, I had invested in some property in a place called Cabbage Town in Toronto. And basically, the property I bought I bought it for a song, and 3 years later sold it for a fortune. And so that was the beginning of really understanding that you could, if you set your mind to something, you could really create something. So that was the first step. And then, you know, as time went on, I knew that it was really important to me to get an education. You know, I believe that without an education, nobody would respect me. I'm not sure that that was a valid belief, but it was a belief that got me to the next level. And even though I got married and I adopted 2 children, I decided I was still going to go back to school, and I did. I was accepted at 3 of the top schools in Canada for dietetics and human nutrition. And I went back to school, got my degrees. I found that it was the money was not as good with my degrees as it had been working, you know, for tips. But the way I felt about myself was what was important, and I felt more accomplished. And the big thing for me was the fact that I had come from the streets, and I had gotten to a place where I had education, and it was a valid education. I had done it myself through the process of making a decision to you know, achieve results, to achieve success, whatever that was for me at the time. And to always do it with some level of integrity, not to fall prey to what a lot of homeless kids do fall prey to. You know, the easy income from doing things that are not high integrity or not really right for them, but they fall into the trap, you know, such as prostitution and drugs. And I avoided those things because I always had a vision that I could do more. I could be an example. I think that was what I was feeling back then, was that I could be an example of someone who could dig themselves from the gutter and come out on top. So I ended up graduating one of the top in the class. I'd always been a really excellent student anyway throughout school, and it was mainly because I was very competitive. I was going to be the top at whatever I did. And so I got out of school, got one of the top internships in dietetics, completed that, and then came out to the reality that I was not going to make enough money as a graduate to support my family in the jobs that I was offered. So I went into administrative dietetics, which paid a huge amount more than clinical. The sad part was I hated every single moment of that job. And eventually I went through just terrible times dealing with two kids who were teenagers. And, you know, having adopted them, they came with their baggage from past experiences. And on top of that, I was working at a job that I loathed. It was just not what I was made for. It was not my purpose. And yet the money was excellent. So I was doing the job for the money. And in 1985, I was diagnosed first with melanoma and a week later with uterine cancer stage 4. And that was the journey, the beginning of the journey to what was really important. And gradually, after 5 bouts of cancer, I found myself 88 pounds in a wheelchair, unable to eat any food, solid food. The only thing I could do was suck on ice chips. And that was in 1989. And then from there, the miracles began, one after another. First was a home show where I was introduced to a Vitamix machine and was shown how to make ice chips into something that would at least provide some nutrition. The next part of it was meeting Dr. Bernie Siegel, who just, to me, is one of the most amazing oncologists, just really saw patients as people, not numbers. And he was basically instrumental in taking me the next level, which was looking at what was I grateful for. And I got to tell you, back then, the chips on my shoulder were blocks. I had no idea of anything that I was grateful for. I was angry at God, angry at the world, and was sure that, life was not worth living. But Dr. Bernie Siegel helped me to really understand that the more that you had gratitude for, the greater the experiences in your life that were gratitude-based would be. In other words, what you focused on would expand. And I started writing a gratitude journal with 5 gratitudes, and I will never forget the first time I tried to write a gratitude journal, I could not come up with 5 gratitudes. And I remember Dr. Bernie Siegel, it was like, what am I grateful for? And it was a winter day in Canada, overcast, dull, miserable. And the sun shone for 1 minute at most. And I remember looking out and thinking, oh my God, sunshine. And that was what I wrote. Dear God, thank you for the sun. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for the sun. 5 times. By the end of a month, I was writing 130 plus gratitudes.
Ooh.
And my life began to change dramatically. I was out of the wheelchair after less than a year, and the journey back to health began. It was just a really significant journey that allowed me to really reflect on what had transpired in that time. You know, when I did arrive in Los Angeles, I arrived in Los Angeles with not a penny in my pocket. I had left Canada with $43 and a van that kept breaking down. But it was full of all my angel jewelry and t-shirts, things that I had created, and it got me to the City of Angels, Los Angeles. And from there, my life began to expand in a different way. And I think it was that I had overcome something so traumatic when I was told that you couldn't, that there was no hope. and I didn't know how long I had, but I knew that whatever days I had on the planet, they were going to be meaningful. They were not going to be filled with things I hated. They were going to be filled with joy, however that unfolded. And that was really, you know, the underpinnings of the realization then that what was success? Success, certainly money is a very major part of it. We live in a money-based economy and life, world. But there's so much more because you can have money and be completely unfulfilled. And so what was there to it? What was more important? And it was really, you know, finding joy in what you do and being grateful for everything that comes into your life, even if it doesn't seem something you'd want to be grateful for. How many people would be grateful for having cancer? But I thank God for that experience because it brought me to the place that I'm at today where I feel fulfilled. I have so many of my dreams coming true on a daily basis, and I have incredible people in my life. And success is all those things now for me. It's an abundance in everything. People, experiences, financial stability, love. And I think that's it in a nutshell. You know,
Wow. That is amazing. You know, Marlene, I have so far interviewed like 110 ultra successful people, and it's very obvious that the level of success you achieve or you reach in your life is so somehow dependent on the level of diversity you experienced in your life. So this is a drama, a complete drama that transformed you to a fountain of wisdom. Really, and I think we can have an amazing tradition now talking about success and success inside, not energy and vitality. So, you know, you know a lot more about success than anyone who just read books and in self-improvement, because you just lived the situation, you have passed through challenges and so on. So let me ask you, through all these drama, what was the transformational point in your life?
I think one of the most significant transformational points in my life, apart from, you know, meeting Dr. Bernie Siegel and starting a gratitude journal, which I still do to this day, by the way, every morning. But apart from that and meeting the Vitamix man who introduced me to something I could take in that would sustain me until I started to achieve greater health. The moment that was so significant for me, Tahami, was when a girlfriend of mine by the same name as myself was vying for a huge loan, $1 million loan, in fact, to continue her bookstore in Toronto. And you know, it was going on and on for a long time, but she was not getting the money. And then one day she called me in desperation and said she didn't know she could continue, and the next day she was dead. She had committed suicide. And the very next day after that, the $1 million loan came in. And I think for me, I realized that we have no clue what's around the corner. And if we quit, we could be quitting at the very moment that your ship is going to come in, whatever that is at that time, because in our lives we have different ships coming in. But at that time for me, it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And it was right when I was going through the very end journey with, you know, where I was told I had no time left. And I think for me it was like, if I quit now, if I give up, I may be giving up the best things ahead of me. And that was a major turning point for me. And the other aspect of that was really coming to grips with the fact that if you do in life what you hate, you're living out of integrity with who you really are. And to live in integrity with who you are and what your mission is, and everyone has their own, I believe, their own specific mission on the planet. If we live out of integrity with that, we pay a high price. But if we live in integrity with it, at least when we do leave the planet, we leave knowing that we've made a difference. on some level. I mean, the worst thing that I think could happen is, I remember this Maurice Callahan, a wonderful speaker, saying, what would you want to have, you know, on your epitaph when you die? And I remember even back then, and that's when I was in a wheelchair, and I thought, what would I want to have on my epitaph? It certainly wouldn't be dying in a wheelchair. It would be leaving the planet a better place in some way. And I remember that moment when he said that as well, and it was right at the, you know, within a few days of my girlfriend committing suicide. All of these things happened in that short space of time. I call them miracles, because they were people coming in. To me, they were like angels entering into my life and giving me messages that were really important. And it's like knowing that what I would want to have happen is that I would leave the planet a better place. So I couldn't leave when I was told I had to leave, or when people told me I was going to leave. I couldn't leave then because I hadn't done anything that was, in my mind, noteworthy or transformational or worthwhile. Now, I probably had, but in my mind at that time I hadn't. And so, you know, really coming to the realization of, okay, I'll never, ever work at a job I hate again, because that means I'm not doing what my purpose is. If I follow my instincts and go within and really follow what my inner self is telling me, then I'm going to find the answers. And that was what brought me to California. I mean, I didn't come to California with any ideas about staying here. I had a vision of California as sex, drugs, and violence. I was just on my way to visit a friend in San Francisco, and through a certain level of circumstances or crazy events that happened, I reconnected with my girlfriend from Toronto that I hadn't seen in 17 years. And by the grace of God, she needed help that I could provide for her. And from there, my life began in a whole different way. I only do what I love. It doesn't mean that everything I do is joyful for me to do, but the work that I do, the mission I have, I love so much that it makes everything else easy to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No?
Now you go beyond energy for the body. Now this wisdom gives energy to the soul and the spirit. Very inspirational, Marlene. Wow. Wow.
Exactly. So, Tahani, that was, you know, in talking about energy, you know, as we talked about, my new book is Instant Energy. And I really want to share something that came about on Thanksgiving Day, of all days, Thanksgiving Day. And I had decided to take this day as just a day to be alone and at peace, because most of my life is out and about and running around and doing seminars all over the place, and, you know, and I love my work, so that's never an issue. But I wanted that day to just be at peace, and I didn't want to fight traffic to go anywhere. And so that day I established everything the day before just to relax, watch a good movie, or eat a relaxed breakfast. I went to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I had something going on and I didn't know what it was. And at 6 o'clock in the morning I woke up. Couldn't sleep another moment. Dashed to my computer and thought, energy is an acronym for what I teach. And, you know, most people equate me to food and nutrition, because so much of our foundation for health is food and nutrition. But I knew for me, all the things that I taught my patients, might have began with water and food and nutrition and exercise, but it encompassed the whole person. And so when I sat down and looked at energy as an acronym, E-N-E-R-G-Y as an acronym for what I teach, it just came out on paper in 5 minutes. And it was all of the five keys that I teach people about how to be healthy. I mean, you can't live unless you breathe. That's number one. So you have to exhale in order to inhale fully. You have to eat well. So nutrition excellence on a daily basis was critical. Then we come to E, the second E, exercise for cell regeneration. And that's what I talk to people about. What forms of exercise can you do that will increase your rejuvenation and regeneration of your cells on a cellular level? And then the R was relax and rejuvenate, because if you do not take time out, you will be forced to, as I was. And then from there, it was, where does the G fit in? Gratitude. Gratitude attitude. And I've been saying this for years to my patients, and they know that that's one of the key things I teach when I'm working with them. and facilitate them to be able to uncover in themselves. And the why was simply your five keys to instant energy. And it was like, oh my gosh, who would have thought that it could really be, in a nutshell, what I teach. And it's everything. It's the whole person health, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Because one without the other, it does not a whole person make. You have to have all aspects of yourself working synergistically together to create the abundance in your life in every area.
Wow. Wow. We will sure get back to these five keys, Marlene, in more details. That's absolutely amazing. And I want to take you to back to the challenges that you
yes.
faced. And if we are going to point out the top three challenges that you faced along your journey, and how did you manage to overcome each one of them?
That's an easy one for me. You know, when I looked at what were they, you know, number one was I was homeless at 14, and I was a kid. I was really an innocent kid. I had no clue about the workings of the world. I knew that I had a faith in something bigger than myself, but I had no clue about how to live. No one would hire a 14-year-old kid. It was against the law to hire a kid to work for them. So I ended up, do I go home with my tail between my legs and beg to live in an environment that was hostile, angry, and violent? Or do I decide to just step out there and take a risk? And I think the best thing I did was to step out there and take a risk. It was not fun, but it taught me that you can overcome anything if you have the mindset, the intention, that you will take everything as a stepping stone. And not, even at 14, I knew that. I knew it was a stepping stone. I knew I was going to learn a lot if I allowed myself to see it as a teacher, not a burden. And don't get me wrong, I was a great victim. No one played the victim better than me. That's probably why I had so many challenges in my life, because I would go into, yes, I see there's a lesson here, but oh God, I feel like such a victim. You know, so that was my first experience, 14, on the streets. And I made it work, and it was interesting because I remember this one coffee house in, you know, Yorkville, Toronto, which was the hippie area of Toronto. And it had all these little coffee houses, and there was one in particular, and the owner of the coffee house would let me come in at night when everyone else was out there freezing. He would let me come in at night as long as I didn't come right inside, and he would give me hot coffee all night long. Now, that's not a healthy thing to do all night long, and I wouldn't do it now, but at that time, hot coffee sure felt great on a cold night, and it sure felt a whole lot better than being out in the wind blowing in my face and or, you know, in my body. So there were little miracles like that along the way where I realized there were good people out there. There are good people. Not everybody was bad. And where I came from, I was fearful of it. But that was my first step. And then, of course, you know, begging for the dime that day where I ended up getting a job. Even though I was underage, I was able to get that job and start creating a different life. I had a vision. I knew what I wanted. I wanted to be free of torment and what I called the hell of what I'd grown up with, but I also wanted to create a life that was meaningful. On some level, I knew that even then. But then when my parents begged me to come home and I really wanted to get an education if I could, I did attempt to go home. I went home for a brief period, and during that time, it was such hell. It was worse than I even remembered before, and especially, I guess, because I'd been away from it for 2.5 years. But I went back and I tried to be there, and I ended up delving down into an eating disorder. It was the only control I had was the control over food. And basically I stopped eating and I became what they call very anorexic. I actually hit a really low, low weight, lower than when I was sick with cancer. And they had to tube feed me to try to build me up. But I remember when I had the connection then with a psychiatrist who said, "You're not crazy." Because that's what everyone was telling me, that I was crazy. And he said, "You're not crazy. You're emotionally disturbed, and there's a huge difference. And the only way to overcome that is to begin to look at what's going on for you and to move through that." it was not an overnight journey, and it was a 20-year eating disorder that I went through. It was one thing in my life that somehow kept me going through with life. I felt like I was in a prison, but it was a prison that somehow kept me around. The irony was when I discovered the problem, which was that I allowed other people to dictate what my life would be like. You know, I looked like I was self-determinant, but at times it was really, what did people think of me? I think what really drove me was if I got a pat on the back, or it wasn't so much money, it was like a pat on the back, you're great, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, whatever, you know, all those kinds of things. It was being accepted that was so important to me, because I never felt accepted in my childhood life at home. And so the eating disorder was kind of the thing that kept me at a weight, I guess, that kept me happy with myself on some silly level. But also, it was the one thing I knew I could control. I couldn't control what people thought of me, but I could control that. And eventually, when I realized that the problem was really how I related to my mother and my father, but particularly my mother, I remember the day that I woke up to this. It was Mother's Day, and it was my birthday. And I called my mother, because they're both the same. I called my mother to wish her a happy Mother's Day, and she went into a ranting rage. She was mentally ill, very serious illness that she suffered with, schizophrenia. But when she went into this ranting rave on the phone, I saw it. I got the picture. I needed to deal with this directly. And I got in my car that day and drove 3 hours to my mother's home, told her that this day was the day that I was talking and she had nothing to say. And it was amazing. I don't know how I controlled that situation, but I did. And I told her all the things that had been bothering me, all the things that had hurt me, all the pain, and I poured it all out. And then I walked out of the house, not giving her an opportunity to speak, drove home 3 hours. So that was 9 hours later, and I was never sick again with an eating disorder because I had taken charge. I saw what I needed to do, and I did it. And I think that's often the problem for people. We waffle. We know what we should do. We know what would make a difference, but we don't do it, and we keep carrying it on and carrying it on. And that's the basis of all illness, because when you don't face things head on and deal with them, they continue and get worse. So that was the second challenge. And then 1 month after I dealt with this, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I think to me it was like, wow, this is not fair. I have dealt with all this. How could this happen now? And because I had lost two aunts with uterine cancer, great aunts, double my age, I still in my head knew that this could take me out. And, you know, I explained the journey earlier. I went through 5 years of just hell and then eventually found myself in a wheelchair, 88 pounds. Told I had a week and a half to 2 weeks to live, go home and take care of my affairs. And what happened was the beginning of a series of miracles. The Vitamix band, Dr. Bernie Siegel, the gratitude journal, Maurice Callahan inviting us to look at what we wanted to achieve before we did die. If we had only three things we could do, what would they be? And what would we want to see on our epitaph when we died? That really was a huge awakening as well. And it was then I decided, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to be here for my kids. I'm going to make my life work. And somehow I'm going to get out there. And, you know, my joke today when I do seminars is, you know, that God kept me around because he knew I had a big mouth and I'd use it. So, you know, I think that's on some level true, because after I got through the fear of what people would think if I, you know, even shared my journeys, and that they could possibly help people change their own lives or be inspired to do so, then I moved to a different place and I was much more open. And the more open I became, the more vulnerable I became, the more real I became, the higher in integrity I was living my life, and the more I attracted people who were the same. Vulnerable, willing to take risks, never going to quit, always willing to share who they truly were, even if it was painful at times. Because as we know, out of the pain, you know, it's that whole picture of the phoenix rising out of the ashes. I have a phoenix rising out of the ashes over my office door, and every time I walk out that door, I visualize myself as a phoenix rising out of the ashes. I encourage my patients to think the same thing. Because if you see yourself always rising out of the ashes, you're never gone. You're always able to take the next step, you know, of the journey. Whatever that may be for you.
Well, that's awesome, Marlene. And, wow, I think one of the big takeaways from this teleseminar is the gratitude journal. I really like it, and I really highly recommend it. It's transformational, please.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And now to the other side of the coin, Marlene, what are the top three success lessons that you have learned in your life so far?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, that lesson I learned with my girlfriend when she committed suicide, never quit. You know, I remember somebody giving me a little, you know, piece of paper, and it said, quitters never win and winners never quit. And I've carried that around with me for 20-some years now. And I just always think to myself, you know, if you quit, you've lost. But if you don't quit, you have no idea the joy that can come to you. And boy, I've experienced tremendous joy in my life as a result of not quitting. The other thing is, as I mentioned earlier, to love what you do. I remember a patient of mine. He was an amazingly successful man financially, had a huge company. And his whole thing, he did everything, Tahami, everything that I recommended, except one thing. He hated his work, completely hated it. He was wealthy enough, if he sold his company, he'd never have to work again. But he wanted to make sure he left a financial legacy for his kids. And I will never forget the day that he passed on. I was working with him on a, you know, where I went to his home, and he and his wife, you know, had me come in and work with him there. So I went to his home that day, and I knew when I looked at him, this man was not going to be here any longer. And I held his hand, and he said to me, Marilyn, I did everything you suggested except one thing, and I will admit today that the biggest error I made was not to quit doing what I hated and embrace what I loved. He said, now my children will not have me here to raise them. And when he left that day, I have always remembered that moment, because it was, as I said earlier, it was a commitment of mine after I came through the journey with cancer that I would never work at a job I hated again. And if I began to hate something or I didn't like it, I would leave it and move on, because that would be the message to go to the next level, whatever that was. And so that was the next thing that is such an amazingly strong part of, I think, all successful people, is that they love what they do. You know, we hear it all the time, but when your work becomes your play, then you know you've arrived. And I love what I do. It doesn't matter how hard times get, I love what I do. And that gets me through to the next level, the next, you know, tide and the next wave and so on. And the next thing is always to go inside for the answers. Remember I said earlier, I was always seeking outside of myself for, you know, confirmation that I was okay, for acceptance, for acknowledgement, for recognition. And we all love recognition. However, if that's what you live for, then you're not living for your real purpose. Because your real purpose is to be able to learn from everything that you go through in life and come out a winner and able to share that and be a mentor for those who are following in your footsteps or who are looking to you for, you know, mentorship, for counsel, for ideas, success. So looking inside is so critical. If you look inside for the answers, you'll never go wrong. How many of us have had an intuitive thought, I shouldn't do this or I should do that? We didn't follow our intuition, and then we paid a huge price. It's always about following your inner drive, your inner motivation. And going along with that is always having faith that you can move mountains. We know faith moves mountains. Faith in yourself. Faith and confidence in what you're about and what you're here to share. And it really does get down to finding your purpose. You know, one of the programs I'm doing now just to reinvent myself is a program with Jim White, which is what is my purpose? What's your purpose? And I'm looking at my purpose through different eyes again. And I think to continually grow is very important and have faith that, you know, I have more to offer. What's the next step? The next step and the next step. It's never quitting. It's always looking for the next step, the next process, the next journey, and never stopping your growth, always being willing to grow, because that's truly what I believe we're here to do. You're either growing or dying. There's no other way to go. You're either growing or dying. You could choose to die or you could choose to grow. I choose on a daily basis to grow. It's always a choice every day. I have the faith that I can move mountains, that the work I do can move mountains, and that the people in my life can move mountains as well. And it's having that faith and knowing that I'm here to grow. And I'm here to facilitate growth in anyone that comes into my life if I can help them. And, you know, along with that goes the gratitude attitude. You can't achieve anything without an attitude of gratitude for everything you do. I'm involved with a series of books called the Thank God I books. And I am just so enthralled with this whole process, because it's really looking at everything, whether it appears on the surface as negative or positive, and having gratitude for it in your life. Because everything is something to be grateful for, because it takes you to another level. Only if you have gratitude for it, though.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And that's really awesome, Marlene. And for our listeners now, for more information about Marlene Joyce and her work and her new book, Infinite Energy, please visit her website at www.marlinejoyce.com. It's MarlynJoyce.com. Is that correct, Marlene?
That is correct. And we actually do have a special report. If people signed up there with their email address, we will send them a special report, which is the introduction and the first two chapters of my new book, Instant Energy, so they can get started right away with, you know, changing their lives.
Yeah. So now again, I would like to remind you that if you have any questions via webcast, just please submit it via the question and answer form at the bottom of the event webpage. If you are with us on the phone, I will unmute the lines at the end of the teleseminar to receive your questions. Okay. So now to the health and vitality. I think we kept people waiting too long for this interesting part. Okay, so now one of the things that you teach people is how to develop a daily plan to renew their health and life. Could you share with us now how can we develop such a plan?
Well, I think the most important first step is to realize that you do not have to spend hours in a gym or hours preparing food or hours doing anything to be healthy. I specialize in 5-minute strategies that anyone can do anywhere, anytime. And so, for example, we know that water is an easy thing to get. You just turn on the tap and fill your glass and drink. But how many people do it? Even though our body is 80% water, many people don't. It's all those simple strategies. Cell rejuvenation is as simple as bouncing on a rebounder, which is one of the only exercises we know of that will actually help you to regenerate your lymphatic system and detox it. So that's all you need is 5 minutes a day. And you don't even have to jump high. You just have to bounce to get the rhythmic flow going, and yet it will still rev up your heart. And breathing is so critical, and yet how many people actually breathe? The minute they go into a stressful situation, they stop breathing and then wonder why they have no energy. If you just start breathing deeply 5 times, you will be filled with energy you had no concept your body could even muster up. Food has to be simple and therefore does not require a lot of processing. I tell my clients, if you're not aiming for 75% raw, you're probably not eating a healthy diet. Does that mean you can't have any cooked food? No, but you're aiming for a diet that is filled with living food. And living food is raw food. And the foods that are predominantly in the raw form are fruits and vegetables. And nobody I know eats enough of them. And yet that's the critical foundation in the food family. Fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. Legumes, beans, peas, lentils, split peas. None of these things have to take a lot of time to prepare, though. It's just learning the secret to creating a delicious salad and putting some legumes on top of it. You can buy canned legumes if you're in a real rush. Just look for a better brand. Go to stores where they have higher quality. Quality, not quantity, is the key thing that I teach my patients and clients. It's not about the quantity. It's about the quality of what you put in your body, the quality of what you surround yourself with. And then as we move up this pyramid that I've been fortunate enough to have a tremendous artist work with me on, which will be in my book, we move up to the level where you're introducing time out. I cannot tell you, Tahami, the number of times that I have asked a patient, so when did you take some time out today? And they go, oh, no, I didn't. Well, when was the last time you did? Oh, gosh, I can't remember. They don't take time out. And if you don't take time out, like I said earlier, you will be forced to take time out. And it won't be a pretty picture then. Why not take the time out now before you get to the place where you're forced to take it and create that space? Because even 5 minutes of time out, just being still, can completely regenerate you. And a lot goes getting a good night's sleep. And then, of course, my belief is that you cannot really fully embrace who you are, what your purpose is, and how you're connected to all that exists without prayer and meditation. I am such a strong believer in that aspect of living. And I know from personal experience when I practice it regularly, my life expands and I'm filled with ideas and concepts which become a reality. But when I don't take the time out and meditate and relax and pray, what happens is I lose sight. I get overwhelmed. I can't cope. I don't know which way to go. So it's critical to take all these aspects into play and really, in your day, look at them as 5-minute strategies. When the time we become overwhelmed is when we feel like we've got to spend 2 hours or 3 hours cooking in the kitchen. I'm here to say the minute you spend 2 or 3 hours in the kitchen cooking, you've destroyed your food. So you're not getting anything out of that food that's worthwhile by that point in time. The closer it is to its natural form, out of the ground or off a tree, or if it's a wild piece of game meat or fish, that's the healthier the food is. The minute you tamper with stuff, simplicity is the key. If you tamper with stuff, it's no longer effective. The simpler it is, the better it is. In every area of your life, simplicity is the key. That's what I try to teach my patients when I'm working with them. It's getting back to the basics. And when you start to feel overwhelmed, take time out. Don't keep going forward because you're not going to go anywhere. You're blocking the flow. You need to take the time out, regenerate, and then you'll be able to sit down and write out your priorities. And one of the key lessons I've learned from a lot of the mentors I've had in my life is that what we need to do is to prioritize and only have really 5 priorities in a day. 5. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have a lot of little things that you need to do or that you can fill in with, but before you start your day, you should have your day prioritized so that the 5 things that are most important to achieving what you're here to do with your mission or your calling are the 5 things you must do before the end of the day. Some people say 3. I say 5. But when you get those done, then you can do the rest of the stuff. You know, it's like that whole philosophy of the big rocks versus the sand and the little pebbles. If you put the sand and the pebbles in first, you can't fit the big rocks in the bowl, right? But if you put the big rocks in first, all the sand and the pebbles, the little things in your life that do need to get done, will fit in around the big rocks, the priorities in your life. You know, one of the questions I ask everyone in my life, I ask myself this every day as well, am I moving towards health or am I moving away from illness? Am I moving towards wealth or am I moving away from poverty? Am I moving towards joy or am I moving away from fear? And of course, fear is false expectations appearing real. So it's always that you can fill in the blanks. Am I moving toward, am I moving away from? And at first my clients will say, well, I don't get the difference. But when they think about it, they really understand. One thing builds you up and it's coming from the position of I choose to live versus die. So, or grow versus die, whichever you want to look at. but it's always, am I moving towards something? If I'm moving towards it, and it's a good thing, health, joy, abundance, then I'm doing everything in my world, in my life, to create that. But if I'm moving away from, let's say, illness, such as an illness such as cancer, then what am I doing? I'm dragging it along with me. I'm not letting go. It's a huge difference. One is tearing me down. The other is building me up. So I choose to be built up every day. And sometimes when I find myself falling into, as we all do from time to time, that little negative voice on our shoulder saying something to us, where we're moving away from the fear or the resentment or whatever, then it's an immediate thing to choose to change it, because we can choose to change our thoughts in an instant. It goes along with instant energy. You will have energy instantly when you choose the healthy direction over the other.
So now to instant energy, the five keys to unlimited energy and vitality. Would you mind if we take the acronym again, and with each letter or each key, just identify one of the techniques or the best tactics to use to maximize the utilization of this key? So a sort of developing a plan right now with our listeners. So I think anyone can get a piece of paper now and write a plan using the five keys to unlimited energy, one tactic for every key.
Sounds absolutely good. I'd be happy to
Perfect.
Do that, Tom.
Perfect.
Number one is the letter E, E in energy, the first E. And that is exhale first. You cannot fully inhale until you completely exhale. So exhale fully and then do deep, slow, rhythmic breathing. This will, what I tell my patients is think oxygen for protection against disease and premature aging and to create a relaxed state of calm. And how do you do that? The best way is just to, you know, sit down or lie down with your feet up and breathe in to a count of four after you've exhaled fully. Breathe in to a count of four, hold to a count of four, and release to a count of four. Do this for 5 minutes. Get a little timer, time yourself, and when the timer's up, you will feel your body completely energized. We do this in my seminars, and within a minute, people are experiencing a change. The N is for Nutrition Excellence Daily. And what I tell people to do is to think of the... Sorry?
So just back to that technique. Inhale four counts and hold, and hold the breathing for four counts and then exhale for four counts and do this on a period of 5 minutes, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
It's in four, hold four, release four. And, oh, breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And really push the air out when you breathe out.
Perfect.
The next strategy is, of course, Nutrition Excellence Daily. And I tell my clients to think in terms of the orchestral symphony of thousands and thousands of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and phytochemicals working together to rebuild your body. When you think that way, you know that you're not going to get those in a hamburger and french fries and potato chips. You get that from living food. So in terms of that, it can be as simple as, you know, the program I have is a healthy smoothie for breakfast, a fabulous salad for lunch or dinner, and then veggies and dip and some fruit cut up. And, you know, I use things like hummus, homemade guacamole, things like that. That might be my other meal in the day. And then I snack on fresh fruits throughout the day or veggies and dip throughout the day. But it's simple food like that. That's the kind of thing that gives you living life force. You know, energetic life force is real food, not packaged, not processed. So the key is, if it's real and live, that's your first choice. Packaged, processed, stay away from if you can. Then we come to exercise.
Now I have a question for that one.
Sure.
And I think it's pretty critical, and it plays a lot with our attitude, because the unhealthy food is really delicious. But the healthy food, sometimes it's like, no, it has no taste. So how can I reprogram my mind to accept this kind of food. Yes, the unhealthy food is delicious but not energetic, and the healthy food is not delicious but it gives me energy. But how can I do the balance or adjust my attitude to accept the energy food and just neglect the delicious unhealthy food?
Well, you know, we know that your blood cells are rebuilt every 90 to 120 days. We also know through psychoneuroimmunology that as you change or replace your blood cells, you replace them with a new cellular memory. So we've all heard of, 21 days to change a habit, right? Or to create something new in your life. And I really believe in that because I've seen it with my patients where over 3 to 4 months, if they cut down or cut out certain foods, like, say, French fries, they don't crave them after 3 or 4 months because they've replaced their blood cells with new, healthier blood cells that start demanding, through a new cellular memory, healthier foods. So it's a period of transition, and people have to be willing to do that. I'm a real believer with my patients in treat days. You know, it's like, okay, you can't survive without your treat, then the 80-20 principle kicks in. As long as 80% of the time you're eating really healthfully. And by the way, if it's organic, it will generally taste a whole lot better than food that's not grown organically because it's grown in healthy soils and receives proper nutrients itself. And, it's done in a whole process where it's a much more brilliant to look at and much more flavorful food to begin with. So that's one thing. It's also learning. I have tremendous salad dressing recipes all made from whole foods, but they're delicious salad dressings that people can then put on their vegetables that they steam or on their salads for flavor, until they get used to eating these natural foods. The more you eat natural foods, the more you start to crave them. That we know for sure. So the treat days come in where you can, okay, you can't live without the French fries, go ahead, have some French fries, just don't eat a whole basket of them. Okay, you can't live without the chocolate. Okay, but just don't buy the huge chocolate bar or buy one and share it with everyone in your family. Have the chocolate. Chocolate's not the worst thing in the world, by the way. Dark chocolate's good for you. So, it's like choosing, again, quality, not quantity. And so if you do break down, you have your treat day, and I like treat day versus cheat day. Cheat day sounds really bad and makes you feel guilty. So instead, let's rephrase it as treat day. On a treat day, you get to have that splurge, and you enjoy it. And you make it quality, not quantity. Get the best of whatever that food is that's not probably as healthy for you. So it's really making adjustments that way. And I will grant you that it can take time, but I was a confirmed sugarholic when I was a young person. And I weighed 250 pounds when I was 20. And I don't weigh anywhere near that. I'm less than half that now and have maintained that for many, many years. And what I did was I completely transformed my taste buds so that now I almost never have anything sweet. And if I do, it might be a piece of chocolate or something that's got chocolate in it. That's the one thing I never gave up. But anything else, I don't care about. Ice cream, which was my major number one food, I have no interest in. So you can change your taste buds. Believe me, I know from personal experience, both myself and with my patients.
Excellent.
And then the next step is, of course, exercise. You can't be healthy without exercise, but most people think they have to go and knock out, 90 minutes in the gym every day, and the truth is, you don't. 5 minutes on a rebounder twice a day will do a tremendous amount of benefit, will create a tremendous amount of benefit for you, not only detoxing your lymphatic system, but revving up your heart. And then if you add some hand weights to that, you can work your arms while you're on the rebounder. My favorite is by a company called Rebound Air because it's just a much more sturdy mat and it has a lifetime warranty. But it's, just getting on that rebounder and doing it daily will help to regenerate your cells at a cellular level, and the research has shown that. I'm also now working with another program called Fit10. And, Dave's philosophy is if you spend more than 10 minutes exercising, you're wasting your time. And I'm exploring that myself for my patients because I really feel that if we can, master our bodies in specific amounts of time rather than feeling like we've got to spend hours doing something that we don't enjoy doing, then we're going to get more out of our lives. We're going to get more health out of our lives. We're going to get more joy out of our lives. So that's the exercise for cell rejuvenation. And then, of course, we come to the R. And as I mentioned earlier, if you don't take time out to relax, you can't rejuvenate your soul. And when people tell me they don't have time, you know, it's like, okay, you don't have time. What's going to happen when all you have is time? But you're so sick you can't enjoy it. You know, you got a choice. Take it now or take it later. Take it now with joy or take it later. Compromised health on the way out. So it's making a choice and really thinking in terms of time out for regeneration and stress release. And, you know, depending on what your philosophical and spiritual beliefs are, it's a great time to pray. I'm a real believer that, you know, if you ask God for direction, then it's, after that, you got to shut up and listen. And that's called meditation. So you pray, and then you meditate. But whatever works for someone is taking the time out to be still. Connect to the higher power. And then, of course, as I said before, gratitude attitude. This is where I tell my clients to think self-acceptance and powerful, optimistic, and grateful words, thoughts, and intentions. Those are critical. If you have that in place, then everything else above that that we've just talked about will become an automatic because you're coming from a place of grace at all times, and you're always going to choose to move towards that which expands you positively and in turn expands everybody and everything around you positively. And the summary of that with the why is that this is your five keys to instant energy. I tell people, take the points in the book and figure out which ones work for you, because there's lots of strategies in the book, lots of them. Going and having a bath may be the time out for one person. Just sitting in a bathtub for 30 minutes a day, and that's fabulous if that's what they like to do. For another person like myself, I like to sit and be still in my meditation area that I've created. And just talk to God and then listen for the answers. For another person, it may be taking a long walk, maybe even with a loved one. That's another thing that's a fabulous way to take time out, to appreciate the nature around you. You know, there's all kinds of strategies in the book, and you just choose which ones work for you. It's your five keys. It's not my five keys, it's your five keys. You choose what works for you out of the strategies that are offered, and there's hundreds of them.
Wow. So, again, E for exhale, N for nutrition, E for exercise, R for regeneration, or?
Yep, relax.
Relax, and G for gratitude, and Y is for your five keys.
That's it.
Wow. Wow.
Simple strategies, you know, that's the
yeah.
key, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not complicated.
Yeah. Fantastic. Wow. This is also Marlene, and your book is on Amazon or on your website?
It's not. It is just about available. We just found out from the publisher that it will be out towards the end of September. So people can order it in advance, and they'll get a discounted price, and we will be doing a big book launch once it comes out through Amazon.
Wow. Looking forward to it.
Me too. It's been a long time.
Awesome. Awesome, Marlene. Awesome, yeah. So now before we start opening the lines for questions, we already got a lot of questions through the question-answer forum. But before we open the lines, what single advice could you give to someone who wants to create everlasting success and leave a legacy?
I believe that the most important thing, and I have rethought what I had written down when I first wrote to you, Sahami, I think the number one most important thing is the time out to be still. Because in that in those moments, everything else can be done. It's out of that that you create optimal health, mind, body, spirit. You know, I had said that, you know, to maintain your health on every level, mind, body, and spirit, was the most important thing. Without health, you have nothing. And I really believe that. But you can't really go there without first taking that time out to evaluate what is most important to you in a particular day. So every day, I think the first most important thing that will give you the power of focus, the power to never quit, the power to only do what you love, is to take the time out to be still, to reorganize your thoughts, and allow what's meant to be to unfold before your eyes, which it will do.
Wow. Fantastic. Wow. Wow. Well, now I will unmute the lines to receive the questions for people who are listening to us via the internet, if you have more questions, you can actually submit them through the question and answer form at the bottom of the event webpage. So, Marlene, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Perfect. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me all?
How are you?
Hi. So, anyone have any question to Marlene?
Yes, lots of them.
Let's take the first one. Who would like to start?
I'll go ahead and start. Hi, Marilyn. This is Elka.
Hi, Elka.
Is there a good oil versus a bad oil when you do cook some stuff?
That's a great question. The healthiest cultures in the world do not cook with oil. They use oil to drizzle over their food after the cooking is done. Okay. However, if there's times when you really want to know what you can cook with, the best oils, I believe, to cook with would be, for example, coconut oil or ghee, which is reduced from butter, or pure virgin olive oil. Those are the oils that I would choose. Most of the oils that I use personally you can't cook with, because if it's an expeller pressed or cold pressed oil, you don't want to cook with it. It will degenerate in the cooking process and become like a rancid fat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Will you be answering email questions, the ones that we submitted?
I think so, yes.
Yes, yes, it's coming.
All right, thank you.
Welcome. So, one of the questions that we received online, Marlene, is that from Elkie.
Uh-huh.
Elkie Lomita, she's asking, I just quit smoking a month ago and have been eating lots of hard candy, you can imagine.
Yeah.
So, besides raw vegetables, what other kind of food can you recommend that doesn't pack on the pounds?
Wonderful question. Congratulations, Elka, on not smoking. Wow, that's a great thing.
1 month today, Marilyn.
Huh?
1 month today.
Congratulations. I think that's fabulous.
Thank you.
The best thing to do there, I believe, this is one of the things that, you know, I use this with people who have weight issues as well, and they're trying to figure out how to change their habits, is to take frozen berries. You can freeze grapes. You can freeze all kinds of melon. You can freeze blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, and you can buy them frozen. And those are great to suck on and eat when you're trying to take your mind off of food. And they're sweet, and they replace the hard candy. They're much better for you. They taste great.
Yeah, that sounds like I never thought about freezing stuff. Okay, great. Thank
you. Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, anyone on the phone has another question?
Yeah, sure. It's Al here from Australia. Marilyn.
Hi, Al.
Hi, Marilyn. When people are experiencing that difficult time in their life when they're stopped and finding it hard to move forward, what is the healthy support structure that you suggest that they put into action to help them move forward?
That's a really excellent question. A lot of times in our lives when we hit a stumbling block. You know, something happens that's unexpected and we're, you know, our lives are not going in the direction we thought they were going to go in. It's really good to take time out to just stop and be still. That's really a time when for whatever it is that really is energizing for you, like for me, just to give you an example, is to go to the ocean. The ocean and just being there for a day completely regenerates my consciousness and relaxes me. Maybe it's the negative ions. But I think it's really important to find what it is for you and to go to a place like the ocean or, you know, or wherever it is for you and spend time there and journal. One of the best experiences or best processes, I should say, for overcoming difficult times is to journal. Because out of the journaling, and it can be filled with all kinds of frustration or anger or disharmony, but out of that, you're going to have insights that are going to help take you to another level. And, you know, as far as, you know, a group or a support system, it would be who are the closest people to you that you completely trust. And not to a lot of people. Find one or two people that you can talk to or share with. And they're the people that are not going to discount what you have to say. They're going to be there totally for you as a listener, not trying to give you advice. So if you've got people like that in your life, Al, that would be who I would recommend you have around you.
Excellent.
Does that... Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I just would like to remind you on the phone, if you have any background noise, just to mute yourself temporarily, just press *6. And when the noise is gone, press *7 to unmute yourself again. So *6 to mute, *7 to unmute. Okay, Marlene, just another question from Elka. Which, if any, of the so-called energy drinks that are available in the stores do you recommend most?
Quite frankly, none of the commercial ones at all. I think they're all loaded with too many things that are unhealthy. What I do recommend is making your own healthy smoothie. You know, you can make a healthy smoothie with, you know, natural ingredients, and if anybody wants a really great recipe, just email me and we'll get that out to you. I just really believe that when you make it yourself, you make it with real, natural, fresh ingredients, and when you buy those things outside, they're no good. However, the one drink that we do have available that's pretty healthy, pretty, you know, basic in North America, and I'm not sure if it's in other parts of the world, is something called Crystal Geyser. I'm not talking about the Crystal Light. I'm talking about a product called Crystal Geyser. It's a natural, bubbly drink that has the essence of different fruits, but no calories. Tastes fabulous. You can even use it in a smoothie to give, you know, with fruit, to give you a really nice, refreshing drink in the summer.
Well, great.
You're welcome.
Now, for our listeners on the phone, anyone has any question?
Marilyn, I have a question. Hey, this is Selena from Oregon.
Hi
Selena.
How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Hey, when you were talking about, you know, doing what you love to do, and so what would be a suggestion? I know what it is that I want to do, and I know that I'm working towards that, and it's starting to manifest itself, but right now I'm still having to do something that I would rather not be doing. I enjoy what I'm doing at this time, but I'd still rather be doing something else.
Uh-huh.
So what would be a word of advice on how to, you know, look forward to what is coming, but still work at being grateful where I'm already at?
Well, one is to actually be grateful for where you're at and, you know, every day say thank you for where I'm at and the growth that I'm experiencing on a daily basis. Another thing that I really love doing, and I you know, for me it works, is I write down on a 3x5 index card, my vision for my business life, my vision for my personal life, my vision for my social life. And I have those three cards, you know, my relationship life. But for my business life, I write down in detail what I want and the date by which I expect to have it. And that puts it out into the universal flow. So that eventually, and I mean, I can tell you that I've seen it, you know, when I look back over my life, when I set certain visions and so on for my life, the house I live in was the almost the exact vision of what I said I wanted 10 years ago. And I said I wanted it in 10 years. You know, and so, you know, it's setting a timeline, being very specific about what you want this vision to look like, and putting it on a 3x5 index card and carrying it with you everywhere you go. And to accentuate it even more, create 5 or 6 of that same one and put one in your, you know, your office where you can see it all the time on your wall in front of your eyes so you can view it all the time. Put one in your purse, your one in your, on your bathroom mirror that so that you see it every day. One on your kitchen, refrigerator, you know, wherever. Put one everywhere that you will be, and you're seeing it, and then repeating it to yourself 3 or 4 times a day. Whenever you see it, just read it out loud with affirmation. That was something I loved about what Tony Robbins said. You can make affirmations all day long, but if you don't put any energy behind it, it ain't going to happen. So, you know, it's putting energy behind it, like excitement, enthusiasm. Stand up in your power, center yourself, and then with gusto and enthusiasm, say it. This is it, this is what it's going to be, and this is what it's going to look like.
Okay, thank you.
And it'll also help you move through all the other stuff that you have to do now in order to get there. Because you're moving towards what you want, not away from what you don't want, right?
Right.
You got that, yeah.
Yeah, got that. Thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
Okay.
Excellent. Now, Marlene, another question from Anne Charleston. How do you advise your patients to use their energy to be healed or to accomplish their goals? What specific things can they do to use their energy in a productive way?
That's a great question, and I'm really an advocate. When a person is ill, that is the universe and God telling you, stop. Take time out and ask yourself a question. One of the things that Dr. Bernie Siegel asked me was, do you see cancer as your friend? Well, obviously, my answer was no. Then he asked me an interesting question. Do you see cancer as your enemy? And I said, yes. And he said, what do you do with a friend? You keep a friend around. What do you do with an enemy? You keep them around because you're constantly thinking about how much you don't like them. So what would be a better way of looking at your illness, whatever it may be? And it is seeing it as the teacher. And what do you do with the teacher once you've learned the lesson? You move on. So you learn your lesson and you move on. So when I work with my patients, I ask them to look at what is it that they are specifically learning from their journey. For me, I learned that my life was no fun and I had no joy. So I had to recreate my life so that those were integrated into it. So with my patients, I want them to look at what is the lesson. So that's number one. Number two is, if you don't take the time out, one, to look at that aspect and ask yourself what from deep within, what is the answer, but also to take time out just to put your feet up and relax and regenerate, your body can't regenerate. And then, of course, it's to do everything you possibly can to regenerate your health. Apart from the time out, what are you eating? What thoughts are you thinking? Because thoughts become your reality. Thoughts become action. You have to really, as Harv Eker says, you know, you can change your thoughts in an instant. And it is critical that you change your thoughts in an instant. If you're thinking, oh, my God, I'm tired. Oh, my God, I'm so sick. There's no hope. You can bet your bottom dollar you're going to have more of the same. But if you decide, I can conquer this. I am the conqueror. You will, generally speaking, I have patients who didn't do all the things right that they should have done right. You know, the way they ate, the way they exercised was not what I would have said was optimal. But their thinking was so powerful. That's a critical thing. So we do spend a lot of time on your thoughts and what you're thinking and how to change the words you're using, because words are so powerful, and then taking the time out. Those are the strategies I recommend.
Excellent. Thank you, Marlene. And now anyone on the phone has any question?
This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I've been very inspired by Marilyn's talk and also about the story of her friend and having her friend die the day before and missing out. And I was just wondering, I'm also, I put on the shelf, I was going to get back to the Thank God series because I thought it was absolutely wonderful. And I went on the website and I can't find the story guidelines. Has it all been filled up or is there a way to add stories to it?
There is a way to add stories to it. Why don't you just email me and I'll send you the link for that.
Okay, that would be great.
That might be the easiest way to do it.
Okay, and it's just your story and your everything is just very inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel very blessed to be here. I have to say that.
Well, I feel very blessed to listen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, Marlene, a question from Judy Cole. So grateful to you. Marlene, how do we order the book in advance? I think it's the Instant Energy, right? So,
yes, and there... The easiest way, quite honestly, is to go to the... I have another website specifically set up for that when it was still going to be called 5 Minutes to Health, and now, of course, the book's got a... It's morphed into a different book. But the website is the number 5 Minutes to Health, not hell, health, .com. And there you can actually order the book. And it's at the discounted price right now until it comes out.
Okay. 5 Minutes to Health.
Yes. And we do have, you know, quantity orders as well, so that are much more discounted.
Okay. Judy also asked what is the call-in number for replay of this powerful talk. No, so many people come to my mind. Okay. The replay of the call will be available very soon when it's ready, along with the transcription PDF for people who prefer to read the recording, and the PDF transcription will be ready very soon. I will send an email, a couple of notifications to the people who signed up to this study seminar so that they know when it's ready and can access it from the website. Okay?
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. So, any question again from people on the phone? Okay, so, I think another... last one from Catherine. She's asking, is the rebounder recommended over a treadmill for low impact exercise?
Yes, from my perspective it is. I really believe that the rebounder is the number one form of exercise to use. And one, it is low impact because when you first start rebounding, we teach people do not jump off the mat. You can do what we call the baby bounce. So I have people that even if they can't even stand up on it, they can sit on it and still get the benefits of just sitting on it and bouncing lightly and gently. But if you can stand on it, you do not have to jump off of it to get the benefits. So even people with knee problems, and I'm not recommending this without speaking to your doctor first. I just want to be really clear. But you can generally speaking get on it, and as long as you don't jump, just bounce lightly, you will get the benefits for your entire lymphatic system and your cardiovascular system just from that to start with. As you become stronger and you heal, you can then start to bounce more on it, get more aggressive and more athletic with it. But I absolutely recommend it over pretty much anything else out there right now. Other than I'm exploring the Fit 10 program, which I think is fabulous, and it incorporates the rebounder.
Okay, thank you. And a last question online, which is from Elka. What is the easiest and maybe fastest way to get rid of that ugly belly fat?
That's a really good question, and you know, it's everybody's different, but what I found works best is to avoid simple sugars and trans fatty acids, and which are, you know, in most of the commercial processed foods and simple carbohydrate candies and things. So those candies, those hard candies, have got to go.
Okay.
But truly, that's the kind of thing. And also exercising. And, you know, tummy crunches everybody thinks will do the job, but actually bouncing on a rebounder, I sound like a broken record, but bouncing on a rebounder or going for a really long walk with your, you know, standing in your center, walking straight in your center and holding your abdomen in as you walk is a really great way to start to exercise the abdomen so that it starts to firm up. But just really getting rid of those simple carbohydrates is the first step, because most of us don't even know we're eating them, and they are the worst food for creating belly fat. There are many things I could suggest, but those are the key things off the top of my head that we use.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Interesting. Now, for the final question, who would like to ask a final question to Marlon? Okay, no more questions?
Actually, I will, Tony. It's Al here from Australia again. Marilyn, through your talk today, that spiritual connection is really the heightened level to move on to the awakening of what your possible future holds for you. Is that true?
Absolutely. I really believe deep within that, you know, when I was ill, for example, I was taken to a level that I might not have gone to as easily if I was really healthy, and I might never have discovered more of what was important to me until later in my life. But I really believe that when you go deep within, your answers to who you are and what you're about are there. The integrity with which you live your life will be improved. And it doesn't mean that you'll have the exact answer to what your calling is right away. It's an unfoldment that occurs as you start to get more and more in touch with your inner self, the core of who you really are. And I don't think you can do that through just physical things. I think you really have to get to that place of being quiet and going in and reflecting on things. And that's where journaling also helps a lot. Because you're getting in touch with an inner part of yourself that's the insight-based inner self when you're journaling. So, yeah, absolutely, Al.
Well, that's great. That's great. Thank you, Obi. And thank you, Marlon, so much. I think we are done for today. And I'm really so grateful for your time, and thank you very much.
Oh, it's been a joy. Thank you so much, Tahami, for facilitating this.
Thank you, Marlon. And for our listeners now, I'm going to send you a gift tomorrow. So stay tuned. Look for your emails. And when the recording and the transcription is ready, I will send you a notification to go and get it. And you can listen to the recording live on the Internet for free. And final thing before we go, just go now and transform your life from making a living to making a difference. There's no better time than now, as Marlene is saying. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Marlene. And this is Mohammed Tahami from 60MinutesToBetterLife.com. And God bless you all.
Thank you.